Hi, everyone. Hope you're off to a great start of the week. I'm Tony Chen, and this is Fish and Bits, a business and data podcast on the world of seafood. Today, we're going to once again revisit one of the topics that I've frequently spoken about on this podcast, fish feed ingredients, and specifically, fish oil. Over the last year, I've reported on the volatility in the price of fish meal, where in 2023, fish farmers were faced with record high prices that peaked back in the fall. While prices are still high, we've now seen the price drop a little bit, with the average price sitting at roughly $1,700 per metric ton. This relief, I'm sure, is welcomed by many people in the industry, but there may be more good news around the corner. One of the big reasons for that spike in fish meal prices has been the lack of supply from the Peruvian anchovy market, as the fishery was shut down for most of 2023 due to El Niño. This last week, the government of Peru announced the reopening of the fishery, so volumes are expected to return soon. As we look back over the last 18 months, the challenges created with the lack of anchovies on the global market has enabled innovation in other sectors of alternative ingredients. For companies working on algae and insect replacements, there has been a unique opportunity to shine. On today's podcast, I'm going to cover the updated announcement in Peru and review some of the developments that have happened in the algae and insect markets. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode, so let's dive in. This last week, the Peruvian anchovy fishery announced their quota limit for the first season of the country's 2024 harvest year, and the quota has been fixed at 2.4 million metric tons this season starting on April 16th. This volume is more than double the value that was set at the beginning of the season in 2023. Last year, however, the fishing season was abruptly canceled due to a large number of juveniles as a record El Niño was impacting the southern Pacific Ocean. That resulted in the loss of the world's largest supply of fish meal and fish oil, which led to increasing costs for feed companies and farmers around the world. For the first time in 30 years, the impact led to the closure of fish meal plants and resulted in the government needing to issue stipends to many of their fishermen. It was always expected that the fishery would open again, but it's still interesting to look at a few of the associated data points and what impact that may create for the rest of the seafood supply chain. First, the quota figure is similar to volumes that we saw in 2022 and 2021. This new quota of 2.4 million tons is compared with 2.3 back in 2022 and 2 million tons in 2021. This quota is based on defining an exploitation rate, and that number is determined by the overall size of the total fishery. For this season, the exploitation rate has been set at 35%, which is higher than the level that was established last year, 31%, but it's still within the accepted scientific bounds of a normal fishery of 35 to 39%. That said, while most industry experts are treating this as good news, we are not completely out of the dark just yet. Last year, the season was canceled after the quotas were set, after catches continued to return with juvenile fish, and that still has the chance to happen again. Regardless, the fact that the Marine Institute of Peru has instituted a similar quota as previous years suggests that they believe the situation has returned to a much more normal operating conditions. But even with the largest quota of the last few years, this does not necessarily solve the problem that fish farmers around the world continue to need more fish oil and fish meal. Aquaculture is still growing worldwide, and farmers need to find the ingredients to feed their animals. And that's what I find makes the impact from last year so interesting as a business case, because of the impact that it's had on alternative ingredients and how companies have responded as a result of the challenges. When I first learned about the challenges within aquaculture at large, one of the first problems that I've heard is the fact that we need to feed fish other fish, which means that the world will continue to need to catch wild fish to feed farmed fish. I also became aware that many companies have been working on alternatives, but the types of solutions, be it insects, algae, or fermented products, they all take massive engineering and manufacturing efforts that come with long timelines. The lack of supply of anchovies helped to accelerate the development of some of these products. For years, it was cheaper to continue to use fish oil, but in 2023, it started to make financial and economical sense to look elsewhere. the most dramatic change was likely in the category of algae. Companies like Corbion and Veramaris have been producing industrial-scale algae oil for many years, but sales volumes really hit a new level in 2023. CEO of Veramaris, Hertjan Tekkoning, told Seafood Source during the Boston Seafood Show that the company had already sold out of its product. Demand had outpaced the company's ability to produce their product in their Nebraska facility that they spent $200 million investing in 2019. Corbion has reported similar success. The company has recently invested $50 million to expand their production facility in Brazil and told IntraFish that they are even considering building a second facility in order to double their production capacity. Ruud Pierbrooms, president of the Algae's Ingredients Unit, shared that when he was hired, he was tasked with turning around an unprofitable business, and that was just in 2020, a few years ago. I think it's safe to say that the algae oil business is in a very different position than it was just a few years ago. The success has also been recognized by other companies who aren't currently in the space. Aker BioMarine, the world's largest supplier of krill oil, has announced in recent months that they would also be diversifying into algae oil. The Norwegian biotech and fishing company has the experience and industrial facilities to produce and process fish oils. So it's really not that far of a stretch as it may seem for the company to also jump into producing algae. From my perspective, it looks like the algae oil category, catalyzed by the situation in Peru last year, has really moved into the next phase of commercialization and is now ready for even more growth. For a category like insects, the story hasn't been quite as dramatic, but I'd still say the impact has been positive. Elaine Watson wrote a great piece in AgFunder News recently about the overall development of the insect farming market over the last decade. While it's not focused specifically on aquaculture, her coverage walks through the developments of the industry and the challenges that it's faced. Here are a few topics that she points out. On the surface level, the idea of farming insects makes sense. Quote, insects can turn waste into high-quality protein, oil, and fertilizer at record speed and a fraction of the inputs needed required by other protein sources. End quote. As a result of this thesis, investors have put a lot of money into the industry without much to see. Over $1.6 billion has been put into numerous companies, but milestones have continued to be missed, and there's still many risks associated with the production capacities of these companies. There are still questions on what business models make the most sense. Some companies have partnered with large suppliers like ADM, Tyson's, and Cargill. Others have been focused on solving challenges like genetics, data-driven vertical farms, and finding the right markets to buy their product. To me, it seems like the industry is sitting in a similar position as algae oil from a few years ago. Companies are starting to figure out how to make things work, and it's primed to be scaled, but it's yet to see what that scale will look like commercially. And while the situation in Peru didn't lead to overwhelming success for the insect industry during 2023, the main insect companies targeting the aquaculture industry did find points of progress. Insect and Protex both raised significant funding rounds, and InnovaFeed partnered with ADM to build a large-scale plant in Illinois. Perhaps we'll see the same type of expansion and growth in the next few years as they continue to solve more of their problems. I'll continue to follow the developments, and you can be sure that I'll keep you updated on how everything changes. And that's all for today. I hope you've learned something new about the developments of the fish oil and alternative fish oil industries. If you did, all I ask is that you send this podcast to a friend and help us continue to make this content possible. Have a great week, and we'll talk again soon.